Real Talk, where you will get the nitty and the gritty of the real estate world of the Pacific Northwest. Joining me this month is a very special guest. We have Kurt von Wasmuth, who is our CEO and president of RMLS. Hello, Kurt.
Well, hello, Beth.
Nice to have you.
Well, thank you very much.
Finally.
I've been looking forward to this for a while.
I know.
Yeah.
I feel like it's been years.
I don't know about years, but it's been at least a year. Okay. The last time we didn't have all the video set up and everything.
Right.
It was just audio.
Just audio.
Yeah. So it's been a while.
Yes, it has been. Well, good.
Thank you for having me.
Well, so you've joined Real Talk today to talk about some pretty significant changes that are coming in August.
Yes.
I'm sure our subscribers are aware of the settlement negotiated by the National Association of Realtors that provides legal protections, but comes with some requirements for our industry. And I want to know, how would you summarize what those changes are and look like for RMLS subscribers?
Okay. So it's really two, let's break it up into two separate pieces. One. Okay. The MLS is no longer to have any role in commission.
Okay.
So compensation is being removed from the MLS altogether. And that means that we have to remove some fields. You won't see like BAC amount. You won't see BAC type. There will be some other fields that are removed. They're just not there anymore. We also have to remove the ability for people to, quote, filter by some of that information. So you won't be able to search by some fields. You won't be able to search by like agent name or email or office. However, you still will in the roster. You just can't filter listings by that.
Right.
And then the second sort of family is that we are now in charge of ensuring that people have written buyer agreements with their buyers. So if you're out there working with a buyer, prior to touring any home, you should have an agreement in which both parties have agreed upon what's going to happen, what services are being provided, and what that compensation is going to look like.
Okay.
So those are the sort of high level. Those are the two families. That's what the settlement is asking for. MLSs, get out of compensation. And also buyers, make sure you have a written buyer agreement.
Good. Great. So do you think these specific changes are necessary?
Yeah. And I think that's a fair question. Like, why all the hubbub? Like, why is this happening? I think the National Association of Realtors did exactly what they were supposed to do. When they entered into this settlement, there were 21 copycat lawsuits. So you had the big lawsuits that were happening, and we were all seeing that in the news and online, and everyone was talking about it. But 21 copycat lawsuits had sprung up, which was going to be 50 in no time, and then 100, and then 200. And NAR entered into the settlement, putting the brakes on all of that. Like, everybody stop. We will figure out how to do this nationwide so that people aren't staying up in the middle of the night trying to figure out when am I getting sued?
Right.
When's my lawsuit coming? When is that going to happen? So, yeah, I think the changes were necessary. And I think it is important that we understand why we're in this place.
Yes.
I also want to talk about the fact that there are some MLSs around the country that have not opted into this settlement. And for those MLSs, they're not making these changes, right? They're going to keep doing what they did before. But they're still in that spot where lawsuits could be coming. Like, that's their risk. They could be getting sued at any minute. And they have the attention of the Department of Justice. They have the attention of the entire nation. So at some point, we'll see how all of that shakes out. But for us, we're a part of the settlement. We have that coverage. And at least one aspect of our lives, we can have a little bit of respite. We know that we won't be a part of copycat lawsuits.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. That's all good. What do you think is going to be the most difficult adjustment for our RMLS subscribers?
I think it's the same. It's the same no matter what is happening in the world. The biggest and hardest adjustment will be changing the way you've always done things. Change in and of itself is the hardest part.
Yeah.
So for instance, having to have a written buyer agreement, we've never had to do that before. That's rough. Mm-hmm. But I think that's great because people are going to get really good at having that presentation, having that pitch to the buyer. Mm-hmm. Here's what I'm going to offer, and here's what I expect to be compensated for in the future. And I think that people are going to get really good at it, and I think it'll lead to a whole new level of transparency in our industry, which is what this is all about. As far as the compensation, yeah, we know. We've heard a bunch of people that are really struggling with change. Change mm-hmm. is hard. And we've heard a bunch of ideas. Well, look, I could just put, you know, I have 3.5 bananas in the remarks. Well, that's not going to fly. We're going to be watching for all of that.
Yeah.
I could change the list price, or I could, you know what, we could just start talking about concessions. And you know what, we're going to be looking at all of that. And our job will be to make sure that the MLS has no role in compensation.
Right.
So we've changed our rules and regs mm-hmm. to account for that. There will be fines associated with doing it. We are going to double down. Like, our job is to make sure we are a part of not just the written word of the settlement, but also the spirit of the agreement. And we're going to make sure we have nothing to do with compensation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Well, do you know, our subscribers have to take any actions before August 13th, which those are the changes that the development team will be doing, but August 17th is the actual date it takes place. So any changes?
So there are some things that everyone should be aware of, like starting right now, because as of August 17th, there will be some listings. If you're on the list side, you will have some listings that are in the database.
Right.
And they sort of span over into that date. It's actively mm-hmm. being marketed, but it's not sold yet. Mm-hmm. And now, boom, it's August 17th. Uh-oh, what do I do now? Well, there will have to be some form of disclosure.
Mm-hmm.
there will have to be some sort of agreement with the seller that explains, yeah, we said we were going to offer this, you know, commission.
Mm-hmm.
But now that this is over, we're going to do X, Y, and Z. All of that is going to have to be figured out between now and the date.
Okay.
People will have to understand if you're used to searching for, you know, like listings using someone's name.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's Joe's listing. I know Joe. I'll just search by his name. And oh, look, there's his 7 listings. Well, you won't be able to do that anymore. So you're going to have to sort of get out of that habit. If you receive a data feed,
mm-hmm.
you are allowed, if you want, to put a compensation level on your own listings. Just yours. You can do that because it's your listing. You could advertise that if you want. But the minute we find out you're putting compensation levels on other people's listings, mm-hmm. we are required through the settlement to cut that data feed.
Okay.
So your feed will just shut off. That's one thing people need to, if you wanted to get ready for that, you can do that. You don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after August 17th, commissions are still going to be negotiated like they always have been. That isn't going to go away. And you are able to do it in any form that you want outside of the multiple listing service.
Right.
So if you're interested in it, you could prep for that.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest with you, you don't have to. You could not do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've already mentioned, get good at your buyer presentation. Like, I think that having a very clear pitch to buyers about what is needed in the agreement and mm-hmm. why it's needed,
mm-hmm.
And get really good at that transparency. I think that's the best things that people can do to get ready for that August 17th transition.
Great.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So, Kurt, do you think we could give your home number out? Would that be
I think you could.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, I think that's not a problem.
Okay.
Let me just go ahead and read it out here. My phone number,
yeah.
867-5309. Mm-hmm. And when you call that number, you go ahead and ask for Jenny.
Okay, now.
Yeah.
That's very familiar.
Yeah. For any millennials out there, please don't call that number. That's a song. It's not my phone number. Don't call that number. I guarantee you someone's calling that number right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I don't hear a phone ringing.
No. Okay. Well, no, of course not.
Kurt, thank you so much for coming out.
No, thank you.
Love having you. And you need to come back again soon.
Yeah, I look forward to it. Okay. In the meantime, if anyone has any questions, we are fervent about answering all your questions. Yeah. You could call the help desk. You could send an email to communications@rmls.com. You could talk to any staff member when you see them. And you will definitely want to visit our resource page, which can be found at RMLS Central, which is www.rmlscentral.com/NAR-updates. And I believe that's on the screen now.
Great.
Yeah.
Thanks again.
No, thank you.
And thank you. Welcome back, Terry.
Yes, Beth.
Kurt kept your seat warm.
I thought it was feeling a little toasty.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my.
Indeed. So how about we dive into the most recent marketplace takeaways?
Absolutely. Sounds great. Here come the numbers.
Okay.
Starting with our state-by-state breakdown, as we always do. We'll start with Oregon first, then move across the river to Washington. Okay. For Oregon, comparing June to May, so just 1 month over the other, seems like there are more and more properties staying on the market. But as has been the case for a while now, they're not moving super fast. New listings, pending listings, and closed sales are all down, but active listings and inventory are up with prices flattening. The home selection is out there. Sellers just need people willing and able to buy them.
Right.
So let's take a look at last year. So go back a year. Compared to June of last year, it's pretty much the same. There are over 2,000 more active listings on the market, but a couple hundred less sales. So there's that sort of flip-flop of metrics there. And the value of those properties continues to climb. Over $12,000 in median sales price value. So up $12,000 and over $18,000 in the average price value. Wow. So prices continue to climb.
Yes.
Even though sales are down, inventory's up, sales down. Prices going up a little bit. Mm-hmm. So let's cross the mighty Columbia, go up to Washington. Again, we'll just compare it back to May. It's pretty much the same as Oregon. Price values are actually falling, however, in Southwest Washington, down about $7,000 in average sales price and $10,000 in median sales price. Mm. The active listings and inventory are higher, but sales slipped down in Southwest Washington as well. Hmm. So let's go back to June of last year, comparing pending and closed sales are actually up, though just a little bit. Median sales price value is down about $20,000 from a year ago.
Wow.
So pretty significantly down. So what are some of the trends we're seeing? And of course, this is the segment or part of the segment that I'm sure everybody tunes in for, our spikes and streaks, et cetera. We didn't really have much in the way of significant number jumps either way this month. However, Columbia Basin did see new listings fall from 121 to 72.
Wow.
So almost a 50-unit drop. But other than a few times on market that are in areas with frequent spikes, market movement was pretty minimal. So let's take a look at streaks. As I mentioned, there are a lot of properties out there. Active listings grew for the fourth straight month in Coos County, Douglas, Josephine, Lane, and Mid-Columbia, with North Coastal counties on their fifth month and Curry on their sixth, so a steady climb. Coos County also had their fourth month of increased new listings, so there's a lot of inventory. Again, keep saying that, but there's quite a bit of inventory out there. In the milestone segment, active listings continued to reach new high points. Josephine and Lane had the most active listings since 2015.
Wow.
So 9 years.
9 years.
While Mid-Columbia, North Coastal, Polk, and Marion, Portland Metro, and Southwest Washington had their most since 2019. Hmm. So a little bit shorter time frame, but still definitely up. Mm-hmm. We did have a record breaker. We saw two median sales price all-time records that were broken in June.
Okay.
Columbia Basin was over $341,000 for the median sales price, and Mid-Columbia came in at
$550,000. Wow.
Yeah, that's up there.
Yes.
Now let's talk about new construction. Portland Metro and Southwest Washington were down just a little bit. Lane County was up a total of 12 units. Okay. So pretty flat for Portland, Southwest Washington, a little bit up in Lane County. Mm-hmm. So the value's high. The market has property options out there. Now sellers just need to see buyer demand grow. Mm-hmm. When considering new listings, since we all hope they become pending sales, here's our statistical specialist with an overview of those very topics.
This month, we're diving into two important statistics, new listings and pending sales. New listings represent the number of properties that have been put onto the market during a specific date range. For RMLS purposes, that means since the first of the calendar month through the last day of that month. This metric is essential because it shows the supply side of the real estate market. An increase in new listings indicate more properties are available for buyers, potentially easing competition and stabilizing prices. Conversely, a decrease in new listings might suggest a tighter market and fewer options for buyers. When looking at the new listings, consider seasonal trends and market conditions, as seasons like spring and summer often see more listings come into the market compared to the winter months. Pending sales refers to the number of properties that have gone under contract but have not yet closed. This metric provides insight into buyer demand and future market activity. An increase in pending sales might suggest strong buyer interest and likely an increase in closed sales in the future. It's important to note, however, that not all pending sales will result in closed sales, since pending transactions have the possibility of not closing. Monitoring pending sales can help anticipate buyer activity. I hope this helps. Email me with any questions at communications@rmls.com. I'll be back next month with more stat breakdowns.
Now for RMLS news. As Kurt mentioned, changes are ahead in August, so be prepared for the new reality starting on August 13th. If you haven't read the settlement notice email we sent out or looked on RMLS web yet, go to rmlscentral.com/NAR updates for all the details of what is changing. We encourage everyone to read the updated rules and regulations, to review the frequently asked questions section we've put together, to plan to have written buyer broker agreements before any property touring, and to make sure you're no longer referencing or listing compensation on any RMLS platform by the 8/13 date. It is a lot to be ready, so if you have any questions, please reach out to us. And that is our show. We have a final quote here. Franklin D. Roosevelt said, "Real estate cannot be lost or stolen, nor can it be carried away. Purchased with common sense, paid in full, and managed with reasonable care, it is about the safest investment in the world." Thanks so much. And Terry, see you next month.
Thanks, Beth.